In the name of a loving, a caring, and a life-sustaining God. Amen. I'm preaching to the hardcore this morning, and I know it. There's a song I remember from my childhood saying, "Onward, Christian soldiers, into battle." And you know, if I ever have to lead a war for Christians, I'm going to pick from this group. Despite the opinion of our rector, I think it's cold out here. My African blood is speaking to me this morning. This week we received a letter concerning the annual stewardship campaign. The committee chose a passage from James to guide us in this campaign. I thought it was a good choice not only because of his eloquence, but because of the author. James was thought to be the brother of Jesus, but there is some debate about that. That debate is not important to us right now or this morning. What is important to us this morning is the theology of James, his perspective on God and the world and us humans, and the relationship between them all. He asks and answers the question, what is faith? He says in very direct terms what other biblical writers have said indirectly. He said that what matters in the arena of faith is what one does, not what one thinks, or even what one believes. For James, faith is a verb. It is an action. It is not a noun or a state of being. The quote in our letter on stewardship is from the first chapter of James. I want to spend just a few minutes to explore that chapter, to add more context to the 17th verse. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above. In this letter from James, he asks at least three questions. The first question is, who is God? The second is, who are we? And the third is, what is faith? James' answer to the first question is as simple as it is profound. God is the giver of existence and all that is good and wonderful in this world. God is identified by what he gives. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, comes from above. And James' answer to the second question, who are we, is just as simple and just as profound as his answer was to the first question. Who are we? We are the recipients of all the wonderful things that God has created. Even those things that test us are to be perceived as gifts because they build our strength. James said, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And what is James' answer to the third question? What is faith? What is it to be religious and to have a relationship with God? It is what you do. It is not what you think, nor is it what you feel. It is what you do. James said, religion is that pure and undefiled before God. The Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress. Your actions are an indication of your religion, not your words or your thoughts. So what's all that got to do with stewardship? What is my point this morning? All that you have that is good came from God. It was created by God. It's bestowed upon you by God. Your birth, your zip code, your family, your education, your profession, your money is a gift from God. The expectation that you share that gift to further God's mission is a given expectation. You can't give to somebody what is theirs. It's kind of like your parents asking you to pass the potatoes at the dinner table. They aren't asking you to give them anything. The food was theirs. They put it on the table. They are simply asking you to distribute what was theirs to begin with. James is telling you that when you write a check to further God's mission, You are simply distributing what was God's to begin with. And you allocate part of what God has given you as an act of your faith, as a religious statement, not out of some transactional relationship. Apportioning a certain percentage of your income to the church is not done as repayment to God for something that He has given to you. It is done because it is part and parcel of being a member of God's community. It is your actions that mark you as a member of God's community, not your words. You do not care for your elderly, incapacitated parents because you owe them. It is not repayment for something that they did for you. It is not an obligation. You do not keep a ledger so you know when you have paid your debt to them. No, you care for them out of love. Your being available for your invalid parents is love in action rather than love of words, words and love. And caring for them is simply part and parcel of what it is to be a child. And if you hear James this morning, he is saying that actively participating in the stewardship campaign is simply what you do as a member of St. James. And acting your faith is your faith, not speaking or thinking about it. This Sunday, this morning, is All Saints Day, the Sunday when we recognize saints with the emphasis on the word all, meaning we recognize saints we do not even know. For most of us today, we remember those who are historic stars of ours. For me, the list includes Mary Magdalene, Francis of Assisi, and Martin Luther King. We also remember those who were significant in our personal lives. Some of us who have people we place in both categories. My sister Joan went home this past year, and I'm fortunate to say that she fit both categories. My sister Joan was 16 years older than I. And she went to Cook County School of Nursing when being an RN was considered to be out of the reach of a Negro girl. She endured the racist treatment of the faculty and the many racial slurs of her fellow students. When she received her RN, she opted out of the relative safety and security of the hospital and became a visiting nurse. My sister nursed and visited the indigent of Chicago in their homes. She spent her time in high-rise public housing projects on the west and south sides of Chicago. She was a regular at places where police would not go themselves without SWAT backup. Joan went where paramedics refused to go, and people died as a result. When my sister retired, she volunteered on the pediatric ward of her local hospital. She held babies who were born addicted and who were terminally ill. During one conversation, I said to my sister that holding those babies must be very difficult. She looked at me and said, "It's just what I do." During the same conversation, I asked her how many babies had died in her arms. With a flash of anger, she said to me, "Too many." In the Jewish tradition, when a Jew dies, the Kaddish prayer is said for them by those who are close to them. The Kaddish prayer never actually mentions death. Instead, it is a prayer about the almighty power and glory of God. Part of what a Jew does periodically is say the Kaddish prayer for all those Jews who had no one to say it for them. All Saints Day is consistent with that tradition. We seek to recognize even saints that we have never heard of and who otherwise would not be prayed for. We pray for all saints, even those not known to us. I want to put on a list of the saints this morning all those children who were born in poverty and violence and could not escape it. I want all those little talented boys and girls who never fulfilled their potential to be included on the list of saints this morning. This morning, I want to place into our prayers the many little boys and girls on Indian reservations who never fulfilled their God-given potential because of addiction and violence. So this morning, I want to thank and pray for the saints of great accomplishment. William Sloan Coffin, Ralph Abernathy, Colin Powell. I thank and pray for the saints of my personal life, Joe Butler, Joan Lawson, and Edith Sims. But I also pray for the little boys and girls who were never given the opportunity to escape their destructive environments. Children around the world who were victimized and killed by war, poverty, malnutrition, and exploitation. I want to pray for the countless women who died as a result of domestic violence, never knowing, never being made aware of a way out. So this morning, we pray for the saints that live full, productive, and virtuous lives. May their memory be a blessing. But we also pray for the saints whose lights never shine, whose lights were snuffed out by violence and addiction long before it reached its potential. May their memory also be a blessing.